Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. To Lord Terry's Power Hour, our show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So, pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Lord Terry.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. We're just excited that you are here. This is Reverend Terry Power, and this is the Power Hour. Coming at you, and I'm coming to you live tonight from Tulsa, Oklahoma, where my day job has taken me out to have some another adventure in fiber optics. So, and I'm joined tonight by my lady, my love, Robin. How are you tonight, darling?
Hi, honey. I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Wishing I was home, but, you know, happy for another adventure. So it's all good. Oppressive heat out here, by the way. You know, so...
Well, it wasn't too bad here in the mountains. It was about 81 degrees today. A little bit humid, but not horrible.
Yeah, that sounds just about right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was 100 degrees here and sweltering. So it's all good. At least I was in a building with air conditioning. So, so tonight we are going to be talking about sex magic. And we're going to talk about some of the techniques. We're going to talk about what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions about what is sex magic.
Yes.
You know, this came up as a topic, it came up in a conversation the other night on the air. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were people in the chat room that had some different ideas about what we actually meant or what we actually mean when we're talking about sex magic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I thought we should start with a definition and work out from there. You know, we can start with a definition and move on to some techniques. So, you want to start this off, or do you have something else you wanted to talk about before we get started?
Well, the one thing I want to make absolutely clear is that when we're discussing sex magic, we're talking about two consenting adults who are aware of what's going on and what they're doing, and they're engaging in this voluntarily. We're not discussing anything about anybody who's underage. And, you know, I don't know why sex magic has this.
It's a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. People get all bent out of shape when they hear it for some reason, and why they think it's so taboo or so awful. Or, I mean, it's, you know, every time you conceive a child, honestly, you know, there's magic in that, and there's certainly nothing, you know, horrible about that. But anyway, that's another story. So definition of sex magic, really, is when two people, a consenting adults, I don't care if they are same sex or opposite sexes, and sex magic can also be done alone, in other words, self-pleasure. But primarily when you talk about sex magic, you're talking about two people together. And usually it's just like any other ritual or spell. You have a goal in mind, this is what you want to attain, and this is how you're going to raise the energy, is through sort of a tantric sexual elongation of sustained pleasure. You're going to put off your orgasm for as long as possible, and the intention then is to try to orgasm together and have that energy release and send that out into the universe as your energetic, you know, just like when you're standing in circle and you've built your cone of energy and you have to release it and throw it out there into the universe. I mean, that's pretty much what you're doing, but you're just doing it via sex. I mean, and it's really that simple. I mean, it doesn't have to be any more crazy than that. I mean, I saw people talking about this on a recent blog page, talking about how, you know, you had to invite the divine into you. You had to invoke the divine. And when you had your orgasms, it was really the divine having their orgasms. And, you know, it was just very convoluted. And they were just making it way more difficult than it had to be. I mean, you can certainly invoke.
But if that's what they wanted, you know, if they wanted to invoke this divine coupling of the god and goddess, any particular god and goddess, if they choose to work in that way, if they were to do a full invocation and bring the god and bring the goddess into themselves, then that's certainly not inappropriate.
Right.
But it is also certainly not necessary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's my point. It's not absolutely necessary. So you shouldn't feel like, oh my gosh, I'm afraid to invoke, you know, the goddess into me while I'm doing that. I don't know how I would feel. Then don't, you know. And yes, you know, people look back at some of the traditional writings about sex magic and they think, oh, you know, it's this or it's that, it's perverted or it's crazy or it's, but it doesn't have to be. So, you know, based on new information that you can receive in your mind and changes in practice, and knowing that you are internally an ethical person, it doesn't have to be anything strange. It's just another formula for spell work that is its own unique tradition and its own unique sensations that go along with it. And it actually can build trust with somebody that you care about. It can and that you hopefully love. And, you know, it can build that sacred temple that we always talk about together when you do sex magic together. You know, there's nothing better than, you know, doing ritual work with somebody that you love and care about deeply to have it all come out for the same goal. I mean, whenever you're doing anything working toward the same goal and you succeed, it brings you closer. So, I mean, it just seems to follow suit that sex magic would be one of those things that as a couple you'd want to use to, A, you know, keep a common goal and, you know, bring yourselves closer together. It's a form of communication. It's a form of intimate bonding, in my opinion.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the point is, And again, you know, you can make it as complicated as you want it to be, as ritualistic as you want it to be. You know, there's all kinds of evidence to support the idea that the Kama Sutra was not just about physical pleasure, but it was about magical practice.
Right.
And it was about that prolonged experience as a means of raising energy. You know, when two people, again, and we mentioned, you mentioned this, whether it's you know, a man and a woman or a same-sex couple. If everyone is engaged and is engaged with the idea of what they're doing and why they're doing it, then there is no, you know, there's no no coercion or no reason to think that this is anything other than people coming together to raise energy. And you're right. You and I are very familiar with the concept of creating a sacred temple. And building that those lines of trust and communications between couples. You know, we teach workshops on that already. And we demonstrate that in our life together. And this is a very powerful technique for also building that. If you have a sexual joining with an intent for how the released energy is going to be used, then you're building that relationship with your partner. You are raising an incredible amount of energy. And with practice, this can be prolonged for an extended period of time, creating an incredible amount of energy that is then released with intent. You know, if you do that right, you can shake the pillars of the universe. And the intent can be anything from, you know, healing to, perhaps the couple's looking for a new home. Or, you know, you've got a bill that needs to be paid and you're doing prosperity magic. You know, something that has to do with the couple, of course, is going to be the easiest thing to start with. Something about the home or the household or family. That's going to certainly be the easiest thing to keep that intent while you're performing this act. And building up that energy, it's certainly going to be one of the easier ways to get started. So.
Yeah.
Wow. I just glanced at the.
The chat room, yeah.
I'm just going to jump in. The individual said it's a practice usually taught by people of a sexually sick people. I'm presuming that this individual is calling into question the ethical nature of two consenting adults raising energy or an intent in a in the privacy of their own home or privacy of their own, you know, whatever space they do use for this. I'm baffled. I'm actually finding myself nearly at a loss for word, which those of you that listen regularly know that I am rarely this close to a loss for words. And the person now says they have no problem with two adults practicing any kind of magic practice if using sex. Okay, well then why are we worried about what anybody else does? What we're talking about here tonight is we are talking to people that want to ethically use a means of raising energy while joining most powerfully within an existing bonded couple and building lines of trust, building lines of communication, deepening their relationship and their spiritual union together while also raising energy with intent. Did I sum it up correctly, Donna?
Yes.
Okay, that's it. That's the extent of this conversation. And if anyone's coming into this conversation with other expectations, you're in the wrong conversation. Let's just say that right now. If you came into this conversation expecting it to be salacious, expecting it to be justifying some kind of immoral or unethical behavior, then you came into the wrong conversation. Now, there's a question in the chat room about using BDSM to raise energy. Now, if that is a practice that you use with your regular partners as a means of gratification, then that would certainly be a way that you could raise energy. Mm-hmm. And Robin and I have talked about in previous shows, we have talked about the use of sacred submission and dominance as a means of exploring sacred sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly, if that is a part of your sexual practice, then that is a part of your sexual practice. I don't draw any lines here. If you're raising energy and prolonging the ultimate orgasm and are raising pleasurable energy with your partner, then you can use that to an intent. When that is released, that energy can be released with intent. That's it. I hope that answers the question about the BDSM aspect of it, and that is, and that therefore covers same-sex couples as well, because mm-hmm. that is a, the whole idea is raising the energy. Whatever sexual practice two consenting mm-hmm. adults use
right.
to gain pleasure right. and to raise energy toward an ultimate orgasm, then, that is a legitimate means of raising energy.
Mm-hmm. There's a comment in the chat room as well about that when you reach climax, orgasm, that a person is closer to their God because, you're sort of opening yourself to that pure ecstatic state. And, yes, that is definitely part of sex magic and the reason why sex magic is so powerful, because you have achieved that state. And actually, going back to our physiology, a lot of the pleasure that we receive from sex is theorized by experts that animals don't feel that, and that for some reason in humans, that's a unique sensory experience. And it's part of the reason that people feel that there has to be a reason why that is so, the sensations are so strong and so pleasurable, not only to get us to reproduce, but also to bring us closer to the divine and let us physically manifest that divine spark within. So for anybody...
Well, the French call an orgasm la petite mort.
Yes.
The little death.
Yes.
And it is that moment of complete loss of oneself. And when this is done within a loving relationship,
mm-hmm.
that it's even more profound,
mm-hmm.
because that loss of oneness, of singularity, then allows for a blending of the two and is a very powerful bonding technique. And we see that throughout history. We see that throughout history. That the bonding of two people sexually deepens the connection between them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know I interrupted, but you were on something else. I apologize.
That's right.
You were talking about that connection with the divine.
Yes. Yeah. People are saying, why would you have to have you know, sex magic? Why would require, it doesn't require sex magic. It's what you choose to do. I mean, and if you were going to do, you know, a wedding or a fertility or a money spell, it doesn't matter what it is you want to work towards. It can be anything. It's, I need a new job, but this is the way magic works best for me, is to perform sex magic. And or something you just want to try with your partner. I don't see anything ill or wrong with that. I mean, it's just another magical system. It's just like, okay, I'm going to, you know, light a candle and say a prayer, and that's going to be my magical working for today because that's all I have time for. And it's not anything.
Or write something down on a piece of paper and set it on fire.
Right, exactly.
Or
you know, and so, you know, it can be used for anything. It doesn't really, it's not like it has to be a wedding or fertility, but those would be prime examples of why I might, you know, suggest that type of magic.
And another comment in the chat room that it can be used for charging items.
Absolutely.
It can be used for anything. Intent.
Yes.
It is another means by which we raise energy. Some people raise energy by drumming. Some people raise energy by dance. Some people chant. Some people in groups have group dance and raise energy that way. You know, this is usually not, you know, sex magic is usually not done in, you know, as a group ritual. This is what we've been specifically talking about. As a, you know, private practice, done with an existing couple, and it's one means by which that is added. Now, is it required? There's no ceremony that requires it.
Nice.
But I will say that if you are looking to deepen the bond between your partner, you and your partner, if you were looking at deepening trust and you were looking at deepening the relationship, particularly on a spiritual level, then performing sex magic to raise energy for whatever your intent, that can be a very powerful way to deepen the spiritual connection with your partner. Is it required? No, but it certainly doesn't hurt. It certainly is a powerful tool for increasing trust, increasing communication, and really, I just keep saying it, developing or deepening the spiritual bond between you, that connection, that moment when, you know, many religions talk about the two shall become one. In that moment of shared release, in that moment of the singularity is gone, then in that moment there is a mingling of the souls, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment of mingling, there's a deeper connection to your partner, as long as you're doing it with intent, with consciousness. Now, I mean, sure, just sex with your partner as a means of sharing mutual pleasure is you know, also a something that, of course, you know, people are going to perform and do. It's when you add that level of spirituality, that level of consciousness to the act, that it has that spiritual development, that spiritual deepening.
Yeah, you know, I plainly see sex magic between a couple specifically. Or any two people who deem that they want to do this together. I mean, you don't necessarily have to be in a loving couple relationship, but it certainly helps. But certainly there's no rule, you know, today that says you have to be having sex only with somebody who you're in a relationship with. So But it's definitely meant as a way of getting closer. I mean, you're going to have to, you know, open yourself. And anytime you open yourself that way, magically and also energetically and physically, and that is all part of it. It's you're totally opening yourself and you know, opening yourself to the divine, to this other person, to the energies that are going to be raised during this act. And there's no way to come away from that without having some sort of spiritual moment with that person. So for anybody to look at this and think, you know, that it's not a valid magical exercise, they need to learn some new information, which is hopefully why they're listening.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the conversation in the chat room is certainly indicative of the fact that there of the idea that there's a lot of misunderstanding.
There certainly is.
And I hope that we can, through our meager efforts tonight, help to put down some of the misconceptions,
mm-hmm.
and pull back the veil on the taboo, because you know, this is a form of magic that's been done for, you know, thousands of years. I mean,
yeah.
We can document it at least as far back as the Kama Sutra.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, it is certainly not intended to be salacious.
Mm-hmm.
This conversation comes about because of previous indications of the need for this conversation.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's so much misunderstanding, so many misconceptions. You know, and yes, there is mention in the chat room about group ritual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's okay. I mean, it depends on the practices of the individuals in question.
Well, sure.
And
so
it would certainly be something.
Inside a close group of friends, a coven, if you will, if they decide that this is something that they needed to do, let's say there was a member of the coven who was trying to have a baby, and they all decided they were going to do, you know, sex magic for her. I mean, I could see that being valid, and if it was done and everybody wanted to do it, I don't see a problem with that. You know, but that's me, and I'm certainly never going to tell anybody what they have to do. That's for sure. I always tell people, whenever you have a teacher or you're part of a group, if they ever tell you, well, you have to do this or else, run like hell. Don't stay there, because
yeah,
that's the situation.
Then or else. Yeah,
yeah.
Then or else, because yeah. You know, time to go.
Mm-hmm.
No, I agree with you. You know, and you really hit on one particular type of intent that would be particularly suited toward. But
mm-hmm.
Our intent in having this conversation tonight was not really to go to the group setting, but was more intended as a conversation about closed, you know, it would certainly be a closed group. I mean, you know, sex on the beach might be fun, but sex on the beach for, you know, a bunch of witnesses while you're doing magic, probably going to be a little harder to focus. So, you know, the idea here and what we intended was to primarily focus on couples, although if you are part of an active poly relationship and group sex is a part of that, well, of course, that would be, you know, that would be a legitimate means of adding, you know, additional people. If multiple couples were working together, that could be done. That could be done. Not necessarily even together. That could be done each in their own homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have heard of belting rituals where everyone left the circle and,
mm-hmm.
you know, each couple left the circle and went somewhere private and did their, you know, performed their sex act to raise energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone came back together to focus and release that energy.
Right.
I've heard of that being done in group, but again, mm-hmm. the act wasn't done in group. The act was done in private.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, there's all kinds of different ways this can all be run, but the intent of our conversation is to talk primarily about private ritual done by done by people with the intent of raising energy, and that's it. We are at the bottom of the hour, so.
And when we come back from the song break, I would actually like to kind of back up a little bit here and talk a little bit about the communication and the thing that people need to have inside a relationship in order to move forward, you know, into a relationship with sex magic. What things are important as a foundation? Because I think that we kind of skipped over that. We didn't get a chance to talk about that. And this is not like something you're going to meet somebody at a you know, a pagan festival for the first time and have a hookup and you know, and go after. I mean, right out of the gate. I mean, you can if you want to, if that's what, you know, floats your boat. But that's really not what we're talking about. So let's listen to the song.
Yeah, have a hookup and leave the magic out of it. Yeah.
I mean, hookups can be magical, you know. But probably not the best time to be practicing sex magic. So, but okay.
Yeah, and there was one other thing that I wanted to talk about when we come back. I want to talk about, there was a comment about taboo and, you know, the, you know, particularly the Abrahamic faiths that taboos about sexuality. And how that makes it hard to have this conversation. And I think that that comment writer hit on something that I want to discuss when we come back as well. So let's play a song called In the Belly of the Goddess.
Okay.
By Music for the Goddess. And we'll be back in a few minutes. Everybody stick around and keep posting your comments in the chat room. And if anyone wants to call in and join live, we'll be taking callers after the break at 646-564-9714. Hit the one button when they ask you if you want to be on the show. Hit the one button, that'll throw up a flag, and we'll know that you're calling to talk and not just to listen. But anyway, stick around In the Belly of the Goddess by Music for the Goddess. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Sacred things beckoning. sacred fire burning inside us all. Bless the parts that you inspire.
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it, and by our will, so mote it be.
To Lord Terry's Power Hour on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to Lord Terry.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and this is the Power Hour. And I'm joined tonight by my partner, my lady, my love, Robin. How are you?
Hello. I'm good.
Hey, you're back. All right. And we're having a quite lively discussion tonight and sharing it with the people in the chat room who are providing a great deal of commentary and stuff for us to talk to. And we are discussing sex magic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, talking about it from a number of points of view, but mainly from the idea of a couple, primarily done by an existing couple, performing acts of sexual pleasure, prolonging release,
mm-hmm.
To raise energy, and then releasing that energy together.
Mm-hmm.
By reaching orgasm at the same time and releasing that energy within 10.
Right.
Did I sum up?
Yes. And you know, the thing is that if you've ever, you know, stood in ritual and everybody in the group raises energy and they're all putting their energy in the proverbial, you know, cone of power, as it were, it's really no different than sex magic. Now, the only difference is that you're not naked and touching anybody, unless maybe you're holding hands with people in circle. But it's the same, very much the same process. But let's take a step back. I said that I wanted to talk about this before the break. When you're in a couple, and the reason I recommend that you, if you're going to enter into doing sex magic with somebody, that it be somebody that you know and are comfortable with, because you want to be really comfortable with their energy, and so you know the the best course of action would normally be somebody that you love and somebody that you're in a relationship with, because you are going to be opening your energy to them, and it has to be comfortable and trusting. And you can raise a ton of energy. But this all goes back to what is every relationship built on? Because in order to practice sex magic, you have to have a relationship built on mutual respect and trust and honesty. Because you can't go into sex magic having hidden things from that person. You can't go into sex magic, you know, and be stating one thing about your relationship and it's not true, because those things are going to come out during that energy exchange, and then that's going to go very rough. You should not be practicing, in my opinion, and that's a big, you know, in my opinion, IMO, you should not be practicing sex magic with someone that you're not completely open with, because it's just like any other magic. Intent and anything that's not fully explained and fully understood, you know, it's all about intent when you go into doing any kind of magic. So the intent has to be understood, it has to be honest and pure, and it has to be a need. So, because honestly, I wouldn't want to go into doing sex magic with somebody who was lying to me or who was hiding something from me. Because like I said, you're going to open yourself to that energy exchange with them in a very powerful moment, that, you know, ecstatic moment of touching the divine together. So I really can't think of anything more intimate, more personal to do with another human being. And that is what we talk about, building that sacred temple with that person in your life. Now, that doesn't necessarily, I know a lot of people who live the pagan lifestyle are, you know, polyamorous, and that's fine. I'm not talking that you have to be monogamous. I'm just saying you have to be open and honest and close to the person, and in the relationship. So.
Yeah, and there's a question in the chat room about people that are not in relationships. I think you answered the question, but I want to drive the point a little bit. If you're not in a committed relationship with a single individual or with anyone, if you have a person with whom you agree to engage in sex magic, then you are creating, at least on that level, some form of relationship.
Right.
Even if that relationship exists only for the purpose of performing sex magic.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, everything that was said about relationship now comes into play. About open, honest communication, about everything that was said about relationship. You have created a relationship with that individual with whom you have agreed to perform sex magic. You now have a relationship. If that's if that's the extent of the relationship, certainly that's fine. So relationship does exist. Now, I want to comment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, go ahead. You have one more thing on that?
Yeah, somebody was commenting in the chat room that, oh, there's ways of doing this when you're alone. Yes, there are. You can, you know, do it and practice alone, certainly. But even when you're going to practice it alone, you better be really upfront and open and honest with yourself about why you're practicing it and why you're practicing it alone. Self-awareness, self-knowledge is the first tenet, right? Know thyself. The first tenet.
Know thyself. That's whether you're doing sex magic or any other kind of magic.
Exactly.
Know thyself.
Exactly.
The rules, all the rules that apply to you know, to us as witches, apply to sex magic just as much as any other kind of magic.
Mm-hmm.
This is just any means by which we raise energy. I mean, we could be having a conversation about candle magic.
Right. Exactly.
And be having the same conversation, but without all of the taboo.
Yeah.
And I think, and this is what I wanted to get to, I really think that that taboo that we have when having this conversation is about the repression of the sexual repression that comes with the Abrahamic faith. And the fact that we as pagans, most of us, I won't even venture a percentage, but I will say the vast majority of contemporary pagans were not raised pagan.
No,
we have converted to the faith. And we were raised as children with these Abrahamic taboos.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is the last vestige of our previous faith that we have not put down when we became pagan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done a couple of shows about rebellion, about coming into our faith in a state of rebellion, about identifying ourselves by who we used to be rather than who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that this knee-jerk reaction to all things sexual
mm-hmm.
is a throwback to our initial conditioning as children to buy into the Abrahamic taboos about sex and about the body and how there's somehow something dirty about two people being naked together.
Mm-hmm.
And until we can put those down, then this is probably not the magical process for you.
You know, one of the things you remind me of is my mentor, my coven leader, Jackie, once explained to us that, you know, there are lots of different pagan traditions, and one of the things that became very popular, especially in the late 80s, was this concept that, well, it's all one big pool of the divine, and the gods are not individuals, and it's, you know, it's really all one, and we're just worshiping different faces of that one. And she will rail about this topic and say that that is a Christianization. It is a knee-jerk throwback Christianization to a pagan path. And so one night I'll get her on and we'll talk about it because she explains it really well. And it's exactly what you're talking about. It's this inability to let go of what we were raised with. And if you really go back to the way, you know, the Romans and you know, all the ancient traditions, the Celts, the Norse, the way they saw the gods as individuals. They did not see them as this one big pool of divine energy and its different. No, they didn't go that way. So you know, you've got to kind of pick a story and stick to it. you just reminded me of it, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, but the idea. You know, the idea that we're going to get wrapped up in, you know, taboos about sex
mm-hmm.
and sex magic just mm-hmm. strikes me as being some, you know, throwback to,
right.
You know, that kind of conditioning that we received.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, gosh, we are at 10 minutes away from the top of the hour. This show has flown by.
Yeah.
And
let me just recap a little bit here. So, you know, people often ask me the hows. I mean, well, if you're going to do it, how do you do it? And that's really what people need to discuss. And again, this goes back to open communication. This is what I'm comfortable doing. This is what I am not comfortable doing. This is where I want to have, I mean, I don't want to do it in the kitchen. I want to do it in the bedroom, or I don't want to do it in my home. I want to go to a hotel. However, it's going to make you most comfortable to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to talk about it. I want you to touch me here. I don't want you to touch me there. This is what I need. This is what I want. These are my desires. These are my needs. You know, this is how it should go. That's really the most important part of this is just being able to talk about it. And if you can't talk about it, if you really are stuck on this whole, oh, sex is taboo and I can't use that as a magical practice, I don't think this is for you. You're absolutely right when you said that.
Don't.
This may not be your practice. Yeah. So, you know, go back to lighting your candles and using your oils and that's fine. So
you're absolutely right. And that communication also would involve you really need to have a conversation about what is going to perhaps push too far with pleasure. Because you are seeking to prolong. So if your partner has a particular button that's going to set them off and there's no stopping it,
mm-hmm.
then you need to know that also.
Exactly.
I mean,
I can think of something that I would tell you not to do to me.
Oh, there's a couple of things I know not to do. That,
Right, exactly. If we were going to, be pushing it off. So, it's... That's why you need to have open, honest communication, and otherwise it's not going to work. You have to talk about almost every aspect of what you're about to do and talk it to death, just like you would if you were planning a ritual for 40 people, I mean, you have to talk it to death. You have to maybe even write things down, and you have to both be on the same page. This is not something you can just launch into.
Yeah. Another part of this is, and this was brought up at the beginning of the show, and we need to come back around to it as we're starting to wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on it, but really didn't dig in. How complicated does it need to be? Well, as complicated or as uncomplicated as you want it. Do you want the cash circle? Do you mm-hmm. want to invoke? Or do you mm-hmm. not?
Right.
For me, I think that anytime that you're performing magic, it's probably a good idea to make it magical.
Mm-hmm.
To set it aside as different than mm-hmm. normal pleasure, to mm-hmm. do something to set it aside.
Yes.
Whether
that's why I was saying,
in the location,
right?
Whether you do it in your ritual space in front of the altar,
mm-hmm.
but something to make it separate from
mm-hmm.
your regular practice of pleasure with your partner.
Exactly, and that's true of any ritual. You want to set it apart. You want to. Are you going to take a specific ritual bath or shower? Are you going to wear a specific type of clothing? Are you going to go to a specific place, like you said, in front of the altar? Or are you going to go out into the woods? Or, you have a sacred space chosen for these kinds of workings outside your home or somewhere in your home. Some people have dedicated attic or basement space where they do things. And it's no different than any other kind of magic that you're going to practice. I don't understand. I really bristle at the concept that people think it's crazy, or that they have some kind of issue with it. Because really, the issue is not around the practice of sex magic. The issue is about people who are not good people doing things that are not good things to do, and that happens in every walk of life. And they have, Catholic priests who do things they shouldn't do. And, it's unfortunate, but
atheists that do things they shouldn't do.
Absolutely.
And, creepy stalkers exist in every,
mm-hmm.
in every faith community. Creepy stalkers exist everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Being conscious of that doesn't mean that you have to react in some knee-jerk fashion every time the mention of sex comes into a conversation. Because that's what I see too much. Anytime you want to have the conversation about sex or sex magic in particular, Mm-hmm. There is this knee-jerk reaction, this invocation of some creepy person that allegedly did something creepy to somebody in another country before any of us were born.
Mm-hmm.
And for the love of all that is holy, there was no mention of that in the show.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not what we were talking about.
Exactly. Exactly.
But it was brought to us, and I'm not participating in that part of the conversation.
Yeah.
The extent of my participation in that part of the conversation ends now. Those three, four, or five sentences, I'm done. Now, as we start to wrap up, I think we've both kind of given our final thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an incredibly powerful way to bond an existing couple.
Absolutely.
To raise an amazing amount of energy and to create love in the universe, mm-hmm. which is what every religion on this planet teaches, is love.
Yes. Yes.
And you end your shows on Friday night with Spread the Love, and I tell everyone to have a week filled with love and with wonder, and we're always talking about love.
That's right.
And when we can use the physical act of love to deepen our love and to tell other couples how to use that the same way, then we've done our job. And we
exactly.
have, as you say, spread the love.
Mm-hmm.
That's what tonight's show is about, people. And if you mm-hmm. didn't come away from this understanding that we're talking about love, then you're not listening.
Yeah. And when you do anything that increases intimacy, and increases the love inside a relationship that you already have in your life, isn't that a magnificent tool? Isn't that just exactly what people need and are looking for today? So there's really no trepidation. There should be no trepidation about approaching somebody that you care about and love to want to do this if you think it's something that you'd like to do. I mean, come on, experimenting with a deep, intimate connection with somebody that's in your life, that's...
It don't get any better than that.
It doesn't get any better. That's fun.
All right, how does somebody get in touch with us, my lady?
You can write to littlestonebridge@gmail.com. Terry and I share that email address, and one, if not both of us, may reply to you if you send us an email there. You can also get in touch with me through my Facebook page, Robin A. McKean, or the Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Facebook page. That's the name of my Friday night show. I am a certified holistic health coach as well. And that show, we talk about things pertaining to your health. And to get in touch with anybody through the station, if you wanted to get in touch with, say, a guest or one of the other hosts, you can get in touch with us at, was it CERN.org?
That's correct. CERN.org@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Also, don't forget the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page.
That's right.
For the Little Stone Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, you can find me. My friend's page is Terry Power. It shows me in North Copley, Pennsylvania. That helps narrow it down because some other lucky bastards out there have the same name as I do. So you can also find me most easily by my public figure page, and that's Red Terry Power HP. And from there, you can find my friend's page more easily. And you can follow me on Twitter at RevCherryPowerHP. So, wow, what a cool show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I hope raised some awareness and gave people stuff to think about. Because if someone leaves one of our shows going, then we've done our job.
Yes, absolutely.
That's really what we're here for, is to give people our opinions and some food for thought. And whether you agree with us, disagree with us, love us or hate us, if you leave here going, then it was a good day for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And somebody's suggesting we talk more about tantric sex in another show, and perhaps we will do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can email topic ideas to us at our littlestonebridge@gmail.com email address as well, and we will add those to the pool of topic suggestions. So always look forward to hearing from our listeners. And I think
don't forget that on... don't forget that on Thursday nights, Terry and I answer questions in general from people. So if you have a question about something specific, you can always send that to the CERN.org email and just in the subject write, you know, Thursday night question show or something to that effect. And tune in on a Thursday night and hear your answer. So
absolutely. And quick note. A week from tonight, we will be discussing the Magician card in our continuing series on the Fool's Journey through the Tarot, through the Major Arcana.
That's right.
And so the Magician card is next week. Those of you that are following along, make sure you do a little research on the Magician. Remember, we are working from the Rider-Waite deck because it's got the most common symbolism. You can branch out from there. But we're going to be talking about it from that point of view. And then the 28th of July will be our full moon ritual. So that's what's coming up the next couple of weeks. So tune in on Tuesday night for the Power Hour, on Thursday nights for Under a Shady Tree, and Friday nights for Spiritual Wellness, Physical Health.
That's it.
All right. Thanks to everyone. Thanks everybody in the chat room. You guys rock. Made for a great conversation tonight.
Yep, what a great conversation in the chat room this evening. I appreciate you guys joining us.
I definitely made it better. Definitely made the show better for giving us talking points. We love you guys. And with that, I'm going to wish all of our listeners a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.